Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. And in this great nation, great confusion continues to infect the public regarding the most controversial war in American history. Not the current war in Iraq, but the war in Vietnam. And debates about that war and misunderstandings about that war sometimes overwhelm our ability to even cope realistically with current issues. It is a great day, in fact, to try to sweep away the three big lies about the Vietnam War, which is the subject of this special broadcast. We've already talked a little bit about the first two lies. Now, the first two lies involve, number one, the policymakers who drove us into war, and number two, the soldiers who fought that war. First of all, the lie about the policymakers, that this was an unconstitutional war that reflected American imperialism, a desire for world dominance, it's not true. It was a war that reflected a consensus among Republicans, among Democrats, about the need to resist communist aggression, and it was not an unconstitutional conflict. Then there's lie number two, that says that the soldiers who fought the war lost that war on the battlefield, and in the process committed horrendous atrocities. That's not only a lie, it's a slander, not even close to the truth. The third lie doesn't have to do with policymakers or soldiers. It has to do with the protesters who stayed home, for the most part, and objected to the war, engaged in dissent. And according to the common view that you hear again and again and again from leftists in the press, leftists in the academy, from leftist historians, is that America had stumbled into this horrendous war, and finally, after the casualties became known and it became clear that America couldn't win and that we were fighting an unjust and an immoral war, protesters stood up in America, dissented from public policy, roused the conscience of the nation, and were able, through their heroic efforts and their defiance of the conventional wisdom and the majority opinion of their time initially, were able to sway American public opinion toward peace and to bring an end to the war, to bring peace to Vietnam, and to bring peace to the United States. What an absurd, self-serving, baby boomer myth. The most indulgent generation in American history, my generation, has put forward this myth despite the fact that those who protested the war were always only a minority of baby boomers. There are so many areas where you have to actually focus on the truth to begin sweeping away this common fairy tale. And one of the areas has to do with the motivations of the anti-war movement. The idea that the anti-war movement was concerned about morality and justice and concerned about the suffering of the Vietnamese people, what a crock. The leadership of the anti-war movement, and I know because I was there, the leadership of the anti-war movement involved many people, not most, but many people who were not anti-war, they were anti-American. Let me quote for you a statement by one of the Chicago Seven. One of the famous leaders of the anti-war movement, his name was Jerry Rubin, who led the riots in Chicago at the Democratic National Convention of August in 1968, and who for years had been one of the leading opponents of the war in Vietnam. Jerry Rubin once said that if there had been no Vietnam War, we would have invented one. If the Vietnam War ends, we'll find another war. Why do they need to find another war? Because their real enemy, their real object of opposition, was not war or the Vietnam War, it was America. Do you remember the leftists, the SDSers, who talked about America, this evil empire, this horrible state? The kind of people years ago who were a prelude to the stuff you hear from Michael Moore. Michael Moore says in one movie, one evil empire down, another one to go, meaning America is the evil empire. One of the ways that they protested the war was not only burning American flags, not only burning draft cards, not only waving Viet Cong flags and chanting, "Ho, ho, Ho Chi Minh, NLF is going to win." I heard those chants. I heard them. I saw them. NLF, meaning the National Liberation Front, the guerrillas, the anti-Saigon, anti-American communist guerrillas who massacred, proudly announced after the war that they had assassinated more than 40,000 civilians as part of their campaign to impose communist tyranny on South Vietnam. The people who favored the enemy were never a majority in the anti-war movement, but they were altogether too influential. And one of the ways that they showed their opposition to America is they started spelling America with a K, A-M-E-R-I-K-A, the German style, saying America was like Nazi Germany, and that Lyndon Johnson and Richard Nixon were like Hitler. Look, I don't think that Lyndon Johnson and Richard Nixon were great presidents. I think both were terribly flawed human beings. But they weren't like Hitler, and America wasn't at all like Nazi Germany. But many leaders of the anti-war movement believe that we were. But the rank and file of the anti-war movement had a different motivation. It was not, however, an idealistic motivation. Let me try to explain it to you very directly, because it's something in which I was personally involved. Most people who demonstrated against the war were not of the opinion that they wanted to avoid service in the armed forces because they disapproved of the war. They disapproved of the war because we wanted to avoid service in the army. The main motivation for most people was not wanting to do what Elvis Presley had done 10 years before, which is actually to allow yourself to get drafted or to go into the war and or to go into the armed services and to give a couple of years of your life, which was very inconvenient and could also be dangerous. Now, you may say, well, what happened was everybody got drafted and everybody went to war. And then the heroic leaders of the anti-war movement were people like Kerry who came back from war and were disillusioned. This is a total crock. It has absolutely no basis in reality. The Vietnam Veterans Against the War, which John Kerry led, represented a tiny, tiny fraction of Vietnam veterans. They did a survey at the height of the war of returning vets, including those who returned missing limbs, including those who returned deeply injured, deeply scarred. 82% said they were proud of their service. And then 10 years after the war, they did another survey of all Vietnam vets. 91% of Vietnam vets say they are glad they served. Glad they served. 74% said they would have served again, even knowing that America ultimately lost the war. What this tells you is that the idea that Vietnam veterans came home ashamed and broken and ruined and anti-war is just total nonsense. And it is also nonsense to assume that most people who served in Vietnam went into that war as draftees. It's not true. Of the 9 million people who served in the military at the time, there were lots of draftees. But of those 9 million people, only 2,594,000 ever served within the borders of Vietnam. About 1 out of 10 eligible young men at the time actually served in Vietnam. And of those people who served in Vietnam, 2/3 were volunteers. In World War II, 2/3 of everybody was draftees. In Vietnam, 2/3 were volunteers, people who volunteered to serve. And when it came to casualties, people who were killed, 70% of the people who were killed were volunteers. And no, by the way, ethnic minorities were not overrepresented. When you look at both casualty lists and the total number of people who served in Vietnam, about 10.5% of those people were African American, slightly lower percentage than the percentage in the population.
You're listening to a special history broadcast of the Michael Medved Show, Three Big Lies About the Vietnam War. If you enjoy the Michael Medved Show, consider becoming a Medhead member today at michaelmedved.com. Why become a Medhead? Well, for one, it's a great way to support the program and the content that Michael Medved puts out every weekday. You get commercial-free audio, the radio program on demand 24/7, an archive of Michael's commentaries, Call the Week, his In Light of History podcast, and so much more. Medhead Basic is just $7.50 a month for 12 months, and if you become a Medhead Plus member, you get everything previously described, plus stream every single audio program available at the Medved History Store for free. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the Medhead banner, and subscribe today. Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. Back when MyPillow was invented, it had everything you could want in a pillow. Now, nearly two decades later, they've discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night, and more great news on the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free with promo code MEDVED. MyPillow 2.0 with its temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0 buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code MEDVED at MyPillow.com to get your MyPillow 2.0s today.
Instability, vulnerability, uncertainty, volatility, precarious, unpredictable. Now, all of those words describe our banking system right now, as evidenced by the recent collapse of major banks. Michael Medved here for AmFed Coin and Bullion. This was the second largest bank failure in history, and the Federal Reserve has been scrambling to keep this bank run from spreading. Now, if you feel uneasy about having too much money sitting in the bank, you're not alone. Gold, silver, and platinum have had recent gains as investors look for safe places to park their money. Now more than ever, you need to call my good friends Nick Grovich and Company, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. I've been doing business with Nick for many years, and I wouldn't go anywhere else. Nick and his team of specialists will provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. If you're interested in buying or selling, call AmFed Coin and Bullion, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
History broadcast of the Michael Medved Show, Three Big Lies About the Vietnam War.
So many of the things that people say about the Vietnam War were dishonest and untrue. So the question would be, given the fact that when you look at 27 million people, young men, not women, young men of draft age, and only one-third ever served in any capacity in active-duty military, two-thirds of the people of draft age were people like me who never served in the military. So how is it that people turn so much against the war? Let me explain to you very simply. It was relatively easy to avoid the draft if you wanted to. There were all kinds of ways you could do that. I got a teaching deferment. But decent people, thoughtful people, if you ended up not fighting and you knew other people who went and fought, you had to justify your position. Very often that attempt to justify your position led you to opposition to the war. If the war really was a noble cause, as Ronald Reagan later said it was, how could you justify not fighting in it? You could only justify staying home and enjoying the comforts of life in the United States and avoiding the rice paddies and the blood and the danger. You could only justify that if you turned against the war and opposed it actively. That's the dirty little secret of Vietnam protests. We'll tell you more secrets and more truth as we continue with the three big lies about the Vietnam War. You're listening to a special broadcast of the Michael Medved Show, the three big lies about the Vietnam War. And one of those lies suggests that the protesters who opposed the war in Vietnam were courageous heroes who eventually succeeded in bringing peace to Vietnam and bringing peace to America. What nonsense. And aside from any investigation into the historical record, just for one moment, those of you who might still believe that, tell me how you think this worked, just logically. I mean, just logically. Do you believe that the American people watched on TV as a bunch of people marched around carrying Viet Cong flags, smashing windows, blowing up buildings, and in the at the University of Wisconsin, the Weather Underground, a faction of the SDS, Students for a Democratic Society, actually did blow up a university building and killed a guy who was working there after hours? Do you believe that people saw this kind of thing and said, oh, yeah, this war is really wrong? I'm convinced. I saw somebody burning his draft card. I saw somebody saying, F America. And now I'm really convinced that the war is wrong. When they watch people in the streets of Chicago throwing rocks and bottles at police officers, when they watch people at Kent State University. Now, four students died at Kent State. But what most people don't remember who weren't alive at the time is that those students had been participating with thousands of other students in riots. They had closed the university down. The National Guard had been brought to Kent State not to suppress dissent, but to try to restore order. Think about this whole model. I remember being at an Ivy League campus at the time. Yeah, I was at Yale. And while I was there, the SDS, the radicals, said, we're going to shut down Yale, and that will make the war machine grind to a halt. Are you kidding me? Do you think that our commanders in the field in Vietnam would have said, wait a minute, they're not going to classes at Yale. Well, we have to stop this war. How is this supposed to work? This is lunacy. And by the way, it was lunacy at the time, and there were those of us, even who were sympathetic to the anti-war movement, even who were involved in the anti-war movement, who understood that it was lunacy. How does getting a 500,000 people to march around in Washington, how does that get the war to stop? You know what it did? It actually prolonged the war and increased support for the war. Because it is absolutely true that policymakers who had gotten us into a difficult and terribly costly war became unpopular. Lyndon Johnson was an unpopular president. He was ended up being driven out of office. Richard Nixon, for much of his administration, was an unpopular president. But far more unpopular than the policymakers who framed the war were the demonstrators who opposed it. There's one Irish Catholic politician in Boston who was asked on CBS News, well, what do your people say about the war in Vietnam? He said, my people want to end the war and they want to shoot the draft dodgers. Well, that's basically the way a lot of Americans felt. Whenever it became a choice between our soldiers in the field or the policymakers in Washington who were supporting the war, and the left-wing protesters who were protesting the war and burning American flags and using anti-war rhetoric, the American people knew which way to choose. There was no point at which the American people adopted the left-wing critique. This is an unjust, this is an immoral war, it's evil, it's wrong, we got to go home, we got to withdraw. There's a fascinating study that Rand did of all of the polling data. And they did a study of the polling data in 1968, which is the year that public opinion turned around. In 1968, the beginning of the year, the North Vietnamese launched the Tet Offensive. And all of a sudden, there were all these showy attacks. They attacked the U.S. Embassy. They attacked the presidential palace in Saigon. They attacked the airport. They occupied Hue. They had this massive invasion. It ended up being a big military disaster for the North, because they end up getting beaten back. And yet many, many Americans became convinced after the Tet Offensive in the beginning of 1968 that the war wasn't being won, that it was too costly, that it was negative. Walter Cronkite, in February of 1968, went on TV, did a special broadcast in which he said that we needed to negotiate, we needed to get out, we couldn't win the war. And Lyndon Johnson, who was told about that show, said, "If I've lost Walter Cronkite, I've lost America." And indeed, Johnson started getting a lot of opposition that was registered in terms of votes for Eugene McCarthy, and then later for Robert Kennedy, who were running as anti-war candidates. But here's the fascinating thing about this Rand study, about the polling data. In 1968, a majority of Americans indeed came to believe that getting involved in Vietnam had been a mistake. But despite the fact that they thought that getting into the war had been a mistake, what percentage ever favored withdrawal? It was always less than 10%. In fact, 60% of those who said that getting into the war had been a mistake thought the solution to that mistake was using more force against the North Vietnamese, not less. They wanted more bombing, more attacks. They wanted to win the war, not to withdraw, as the protesters were demanding. And there's another aspect about this whole myth about the idealistic motivation of the protesters. Richard Nixon understood those of us in the anti-war movement better than we understood ourselves. Why? Because Richard Nixon understood that the key to ending the protest movement was ending the draft. That as soon as the draft ended, as soon as people weren't exposed to being forced to go to war against their will, as soon as you had an all-volunteer army in Vietnam, all of a sudden the guilt factor would go away and people wouldn't come to these big rallies, which, by the way, were a pretty good place to meet girls, too, which is one of the reasons they were so popular. Nixon understood that. And at the end of 1971, the draft ended, and guess what? The protest movement basically ended. Giant protests in 1968, 69, 1970... In 71, the draft ended. The worst bombing of the war, the most intense bombing, was in Christmas 1972. Any protests anywhere in American campuses? Any attempt to shut down Yale or Harvard or Berkeley or University of Wisconsin? The answer is no. No one did a thing for a very simple reason. You weren't exposed to the draft anymore. So much for the stupid myth about the idealism of the Vietnam protesters. Vietnam protesters were protesting because they did not want to serve, and you had to protest the war if you felt guilty, even in one level or another, about not going to fight that particular war. And as far as people who voted for Bobby Kennedy or who voted for Gene McCarthy, many of the people, and the polling data all shows this, voted for these guys because they wanted a more aggressive war.
You're listening to the Michael Medved Show. For more history shows, go to MedvedHistoryStore.com or become a MedHead today at MichaelMedved.com.
Most folks don't realize this fact. Our country is only 4 missed meals away from chaos, and those meals can vanish fast. In a national emergency, fragile supply chains break down and will wipe grocery store shelves clean in a matter of hours. Before this happens, there's something you should do today. Let's stock up on emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply is the company millions of American families trust for their emergency supplies. You should, too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each kit contains delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and other survival necessities. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship the same day, fast. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Those who know what's coming, prepare before the chaos starts. MyPatriotSupply.com.
U.S. USA News Update. President Biden and First Lady Jill Biden delivering a New Year's message to the nation.
Well, my hope is that everybody has a healthy, happy, and safe New Year.
In a pre-recorded interview on ABC's Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve with Ryan Seacrest, President Biden expressed his optimism. Another American youngster has taken an adventure on the wrong flight, except this time it took him out of the country. 16-year-old Logan Loss was scheduled to board a Frontier Airlines flight from Florida to Ohio, but instead he says he got put on a plane to Puerto Rico. Frontier Airlines has apologized to the teen and his family for the mix-up. 2024 will be a leap year, giving folks another day to add to the calendar. Leap day gets added to the end of February every 4 years, mostly to keep our dates in sync with the natural seasons. While we count 365 days in every year, it actually takes the planet roughly 365 and a quarter days to travel around the sun. John Schaefer, USA News.
Honorary Forest Ranger Betty White here, lending a hand to my dear friend Smokey Bear, because for 75 years, he's only said,
only you can prevent wildfires.
But there's a lot more to say. Like, if you park your car on tall, dry grass, the hot exhaust pipe can start a wildfire. So be careful out there. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. Who listens to radio at night? EMTs? Truck drivers? Law enforcement? And many other hard-working people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com. Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Show.
Vietnam protesters were protesting because they did not want to serve, and you had to protest the war if you felt guilty, even in one level or another, about not going to fight that particular war. And as far as people who voted for Bobby Kennedy or who voted for Gene McCarthy, many of the people, and the polling data all shows this, voted for these guys because they wanted a more aggressive war. Look, Bobby Kennedy had a reputation as a tough guy. And the idea that the anti-war movement had been right, in a 1970 Gallup poll, the Viet Cong were disapproved of by 69%. And the Students for a Democratic Society by 42%. Our allies in South Vietnam who were fighting alongside us, only 13% disapproved of them. As a matter of fact, the claim that young people overwhelmingly opposed the war is also false. According to a Gallup poll taken in May of 1970, the number of those who thought the government should withdraw all troops from Vietnam immediately increased with age, while remaining a minority. Among 21 to 29-year-olds, this youngest group, only 23% in 1970 wanted withdrawal. As a matter of fact, the one election where the American people actually had a chance to vote for a candidate who wanted immediate withdrawal, his name was McGovern. He was running against Nixon in 72. McGovern got crushed, biggest landslide in history. Nixon carried 49 states, even McGovern's native South Dakota. Only Massachusetts got it wrong. More about the big lies on the Vietnam War coming up.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Documentary filmmaker Davis Guggenheim, best known for previously directing Waiting for Superman, now looks at a real-life superhero, Michael J. Fox, the actor and advocate struggling to keep his life and career together while facing the ravages of Parkinson's disease. The film is called Still, now streaming on Apple TV+.
I woke up and I noticed my pinky auto-animated Parkinson's disease. I told Tracy the news. In sickness and health, I remember her whispering.
Assembled with recent interviews, historic home movies, and lots of film clips and behind-the-scenes footage, the movie takes you along for an incredible journey from the heights of Hollywood success to facing an otherworldly struggle where it's impossible to walk normally across the room. It's rated R for language and for sometimes brutal honesty about disease and relationships. 3.5 stars for Still, a Michael J. Fox movie, and very likely one of the best films of the year.
On the Michael Medved Show, a very special, very important broadcast on the big lies about the Vietnam War. And one of those lies says that the protesters eventually succeeded in persuading our fellow countrymen that the war was unjust, that it was immoral, that America had to come home. George McGovern ran for president in 1972 under the slogan, "Come Home, America." And America said, "McGovern, get out of here, please." He got less than 40% of the vote. I mean, he was wiped out by Richard Nixon, who carried every single state except for Massachusetts. The high water mark for the anti-war movement, according to most people, came in 1968, when there was a challenge to a sitting president, Lyndon Johnson, in his own party, by what was called the Dump Johnson Movement. Eugene McCarthy, senator from Minnesota, agreed to run as an anti-war candidate. He was supposed to be a sacrificial lamb. And then after McCarthy showed that he could get 42% of the vote in New Hampshire against a sitting president, that was considered a very impressive feat. And after that, Bobby Kennedy came into the race and challenged Johnson himself, and Johnson withdrew. He decided he wasn't going to run for re-election. Every political expert, and I think this is emphatically true, if Lyndon Johnson had decided to stay in and to run rather than to pull out, he probably could have won renomination, maybe even re-election, despite the fact that, in the opinion of many of us, he was a terrible president precisely because he never leveled with the American people about the war, its true importance, and the need to make a real commitment to the war. But one thing that is also part of the myth of the Vietnam protesters is, well, if Bobby Kennedy had lived and he had been elected president, everything would have been different. We would have had peace with honor. The war would have ended so much earlier. It would have ended 7 years earlier, and all those lives would have been saved. I'll tell you what. There is a confidential, classified memo of a secret conversation that took place in Beijing in September 17, 1970. It's recently been published. It was a conversation between the North Vietnamese communist leader Pham Van Dong and Zhou Enlai, the number two guy in the Chinese government. And Pham Van Dong admitted that all the talk that had intrigued Bobby Kennedy, who said he was for a coalition government in Vietnam, a neutralist coalition government, here's what Pham Van Dong said. He admitted that those Vietnamese communist proposals, combining the withdrawal of U.S. troops with that coalition government, were merely ploys. Quote, "But the reason we focus on them is that we want to further corner Nixon by influencing public opinion in the U.S. and the rest of the world. These points are also aimed at supporting the military and political struggles in the South. We do not have any illusion that they will bring about any results." In other words, they were just playing U.S. public opinion and trying to influence U.S. public opinion, and I can certify that the people in North Vietnam, our communist adversaries, influenced public opinion far more effectively than anyone in the anti-war movement. When people in the anti-war movement actually demonstrated against the war, they lost support for their cause. And it's very clear, there was a very dramatic illustration of that right after Nixon became president. Now, when Nixon became president, he won because he said he had a secret plan to end the war. People were weary of the war, but they hoped that Nixon's secret plan would be more aggressive, would be to win, not simply to bug out. That was the terminology of the time. And when you combine Nixon with George Wallace, who was running for president with Curtis LeMay, was his running mate, they emphatically wanted to take the war to the North Vietnam. In fact, people said laughingly that the slogan for the Wallace-LeMay ticket, they got 13% of the vote, was bombs away with Wallace and LeMay. But Nixon, confronted with massive anti-war demonstrations in October of 1969, and then the mobilization in Washington, which brought 500,000 people to Washington in November of 1969, he gave one of the most masterful speeches in the history of the American presidency, where he said, "And so tonight, to you, the great silent majority of my fellow Americans, I ask for your support. Let us be united for peace. Let us also be united against defeat, because let us understand, North Vietnam cannot defeat or humiliate the United States. Only Americans can do that. Given a choice between the demonstrators and President Nixon, President Nixon's approval skyrocketed. A Gallup television poll taken immediately after the speech showed 77% approval. Nixon's overall presidential approval rating soared to 68%. Why? Not because people were persuaded by the demonstrators. They hated the demonstrators. And some of those same demonstrators now continue to distort history when they claim that the men who fought in Vietnam came home as broken and ruined and pathetic victims. We'll tell the truth about the Vietnam vets coming right up. Special broadcast of the Michael Medved Show on the true history of the Vietnam War, confronting the three big lies about that war. And one of those lies is the one that says that the heroic protesters brought peace to Vietnam and brought peace to America and gave some comfort to the poor, long-suffering Vietnam veterans. So much of what's been written about Vietnam vets is just lies. I mean, it's outrageous lies. And here the statistics are available. We have a Department of Veteran Affairs. We know what happened with our veterans. Let me tell you the truth about Vietnam veterans. They are not losers. They are not psychologically damaged. They're not suicidal. They're not drug addicted. Vietnam veterans are less likely than other Americans their age of ever going to prison. Only 0.5% of all Vietnam vets have ever been jailed for their crimes. 97% were discharged under honorable conditions. It's the same percentage of honorable discharges as 10 years before Vietnam even began. In terms of personal income, the personal income of Vietnam vets exceeds that of the non-veteran age group by more than 18%. They earn more money. Vietnam vets have a lower unemployment rate than people of the same age group who never served.
You're listening to the Michael Medved Show.
Why be held back by pain and difficulty and soreness and stiffness when Relief Factor is available and available so readily? You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. This is $19.95 for a three-week quick start, which can reduce the inflammation, it can reduce the pain, it can reduce the soreness and stiffness and make you feel better. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, michaelmedved.com, find the banner for Relief Factor. If you're troubled by Washington moving toward more government control, income taxes, rent control, and centralized decision-making, now is the time for you to take action. At Washington Policy Center, we want free market reforms that make Washington the best place to raise a family, to get a job, or to start a business. WPC is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. Get off the sidelines. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. That's WashingtonPolicy.org. Some of America's most important principles, like freedom of conscience, speech, rule of law, sanctity and dignity of human life, the family, and economic freedom, are under contemporary assault. It's more important than ever to teach our nation's traditional values and timeless principles. Now, these sometimes forgotten values must be remembered and communicated, and the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College exists
to accomplish just that. The Institute promotes these principles to the next generation of leaders on campus and across the country. Go to the website faithandfreedom.com and you'll find online courses on Ronald Reagan and James Madison, and above all, a vigorous defense of Western civilization and its highest values. Advocating for these timeless principles is why Grove City College continues to be a beacon in higher education. Go to faithandfreedom.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs, like the ones that cause Lyme disease. Mice searching for food can spread bacteria that makes us sick. Mosquitoes lay eggs in standing water and can spread West Nile virus and more. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home, leaving behind allergens that can trigger asthma attacks. Common pests can threaten our health. Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org.
I need answers to my tax questions. Where can I find them?
Need answers? Try our interactive tax assistant on irs.gov/ITA. Simply select your tax questions, provide your information, and it gives you answers. Also, check our help and resources page and try our online tax map. 5,000 tax topics from A to Z. Plus, you can access forms, publications in a variety of formats.
You're listening to a special history broadcast of The Michael Medved Show, Three Big Lies About the Vietnam War. For more history shows, go to MedvedHistoryStore.com or become a Medhead today at MichaelMedved.com.
Well, one of the outrageous things, Tom Wicker, columnist for the New York Times, once wrote that there was an epidemic of suicide among Vietnam vets. And he said 500,000 Vietnam vets had committed suicide. That's what he wrote in the New York Times. It's the New York Times. You don't have to tell the truth. You know how many actually committed suicide? What that means is that of the 2.5 million people who actually served in Vietnam, at most 9,000 committed suicide at any time. And as a matter of fact, after the 5-year period immediately following service, and service in combat is, of course, always traumatic. It's always difficult. But after service in combat, after that 5-year period, the rate of suicides is lower among Vietnam veterans than among others. So let's be serious about this. Why did Hollywood slime Vietnam veterans so much? Why is it that there's so many films about crazy, deranged, damaged Vietnam vets? Films like First Blood, the first Rambo movie, The Deer Hunter, Jackknife, In Country, Coming Home, Rolling Thunder. I mean, so many of these films slime Vietnam vets. You know why? It's so the people who run Hollywood, almost none of whom served in the war, and except for Oliver Stone, who did create movies that show, again, damaged Vietnam vets, destroyed Vietnam vets, movies like Born on the 4th of July, Platoon. Except for Oliver Stone, nobody in Hollywood ever served in Vietnam. And the idea of trashing the vets, showing them as victims, showing them as pathetic, showing them as horrible products of a terrible, terrible war and a terrible war policy, allows the people in Hollywood who never served to get off the hook and actually feel righteous and compassionate and moral about the whole thing. But what can't allow people to feel righteous and compassionate and moral is the truth about the way the war ended. The war did not end for America by bringing peace to Indochina. Richard Nixon committed himself when he became president to what he called Vietnamization, to gradually training more and more South Vietnamese troops, equipping the South Vietnamese army so they could defend themselves. But part of the Vietnamization plan was the steady withdrawal of Americans, intensifying bombing, going after some of the sanctuaries that they used in Laos and Cambodia. And Nixon, in many ways, pursued this policy masterfully. Now, it all culminated in 1972. As he was running for re-election, the Paris peace talks were on. He finally, through the Christmas bombing right after the election, got the North Vietnamese to agree to the Paris peace accords. And this was supposed to bring peace in Vietnam. What it set up was a situation like Korea, where the North Vietnamese agreed that they weren't going to invade the South. Now, part of the Paris Peace Accords were two secret agreements that we now know about. Henry Kissinger won the Nobel Prize. Lee Duc Tho of the North Vietnamese won the Nobel Prize. Nobody knew about the secret agreements. One of the secret agreements was something Nixon had signed in a letter to the North Vietnamese promising them reparations after the war. They never got the reparations. It was billions of dollars he had promised because they broke their agreement. But the other agreement Nixon made was with the South Vietnamese, and he gave them a pledge in writing, a solemn pledge by the American president, that if the North Vietnamese broke the agreement and they actually invaded in the South, America would come back into the war, would give the South Vietnamese whatever they needed, air support, even troop support if absolutely necessary to defend themselves. We would enforce the Paris Peace Accords. Here's the problem. Nixon was driven from office by Watergate, and when the North Vietnamese invaded, an unelected president, Gerry Ford, took over, who pleaded with Congress to enforce our agreements, to enforce the Paris Peace Accords. The North Vietnamese streamed over the border. They launched this massive invasion in 1975. More than 1 million innocent people ran away in desperate fear of the North Vietnamese. And Congress and the anti-war movement did nothing. Nothing at all to help or to alleviate the suffering. Let me give you a flavor of some of the dispatches in the New York Times at the time, April 24th, 1975. Panic is clearly visible in Saigon as thousands of Vietnamese try desperately to find ways to flee their country. Many rush to drugstores to buy quantities of sleeping pills and tranquilizers, which would say will commit suicide if the worst comes to pass. A young American-trained economist asked an American friend to marry his wife, who's 3 months pregnant, and take her to the United States with him. I will pay you $10,000, the Vietnamese said. April 27th, countless babies were thrust at departing Americans by mothers who hoped at least to send a little emissary to the Golden World across the Pacific. A C-5 Galaxy transport plane loaded with 242 orphans, most of them children whose parents were abandoning them to save them, crashed on takeoff at Saigon's airport, killing most aboard. A Vietnamese Air Force officer watching the tragedy bitterly remarked, "Never mind, we have plenty more to send you." The United States did nothing. Ted Kennedy actually put through Congress a resolution preventing us from even providing medical supplies or ammunition to our allies that we had pledged to support. This betrayal made me a conservative because I saw it and I saw the suffering. More than 1 million Vietnamese put in concentration camps. Another 1 million turned into refugees. 1.7 million Cambodians slaughtered. The suffering after America left Vietnam was far worse than anything that happened while we were there. Ending the war, America's involvement, did not end the killing. It only intensified it. More coming up.
You're listening to the three big lies about the Vietnam War. This is the Michael Medved Show.
On the Michael Medved Show, we're talking about the big lies about the Vietnam War. And I believed some of those lies back in the day when I was active in the peace movement. But the end of the war and the horrible suffering of the Vietnamese people, and particularly the Cambodian people, after America left and after the communists took over, persuaded me how wrong we had been. And not just me. A guy named Peter Berger, a fine professor of sociology, had been active with clergy and laymen concerned about Vietnam, one of the anti-war groups. He wrote in 1967, "All sorts of dire results might well follow a reduction or a withdrawal of the American engagement in Vietnam. Morally speaking, however, it is safe to assume that none of these could be worse than what is taking place right now." Well, he recognized 13 years later, he wrote, "Well, it was not safe to assume. I was wrong, and so were all those who thought as I did. Contrary to what most members, including myself, of the anti-war movement expected, the peoples of Indochina have since 1975 been subjected to suffering far worse than anything that was inflicted upon them by the United States and its allies. So what could we have done differently?" Michael Lind, in his fine book, Vietnam, the Necessary War, says that what we needed to recognize was that the real center of gravity was not attacking North Vietnam, it wasn't defeating guerrillas in South Vietnam, it was winning public opinion in America. We needed to fight the war, but what we needed was not a more unlimited war, but a more limited war that limited American casualties, and then after we got some kind of peace settlement on the books that put American troops permanently in Saigon, just like we did in Korea, to make sure the other side didn't invade. It's a provocative thesis. The fact is mistakes were made, but it is so important to remember the war and the sacrifices that people made in context. Ronald Reagan remembered, in 1980 when he ran for president of the United States, he described Vietnam as a noble cause. And everyone in the New York Times said, oh, he made a gaffe, oh, he misspoke. Well, Norman Podhoretz, in his wonderful book, Why We Were in Vietnam, puts it in perspective. He says, I believe history shows that Reagan's so-called gaffe was closer to the truth of why we were in Vietnam and what we did there than Jimmy Carter's denigration of an act of imprudent idealism whose moral soundness has been so overwhelmingly vindicated by the hideous consequences of our defeat. Podhoretz is right. The consequences were hideous, and the sacrifice by the brave people who fought in Vietnam were stupendous. The lies have no justification. It wasn't an imperialist war. It wasn't unconstitutional. It wasn't a war that was lost on the battlefield. We did not commit outrageous atrocities. And no, the peace protesters were not heroes, and they didn't bring peace. The best way to answer lies is with the truth. And we deserve, need, require the truth as citizens of this greatest nation on God's green earth.
From all of us here at the Michael Medved Show, we hope you've enjoyed this special history broadcast, Three Big Lies About the Vietnam War. Go ahead and check out MedvedHistoryStore.com for lots more titles on offer. Dozens of programs ranging from America's Great Wars to conflicts in the Middle East. You can also download some of Michael's speeches from over the years. One of my particular favorites is a talk he gave about the U.S. Constitution right around the year 2000. That's available, and so much more. Profiles of Abraham Lincoln, Theodore Roosevelt, Ronald Reagan, Martin Luther King Jr., and a program answering the question, is America a Christian nation? All available at MedvedHistoryStore.com. Another way to support the show, become a premium MedHead member at MichaelMedved.com, and you get access to the entire history store. Thank you for listening in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Hey, old man. Yeah, you, baby boomer. Are you feeling tired, run down, old, have aches and pains? Do you have a lack of energy that you once had in your youth? Carbon 60 is a new technology to help you restore your youth. Now, this is not hype or a gimmick. You see, Carbon 60 detoxifies you at the cellular level. It stabilizes free radicals, just like the antioxidants found in red wine and berries do, but on a far smaller, more bioavailable nanoscale. The results reported with energy, health, and vitality are nothing short of miraculous. In short order, you'll notice a difference in a few days. It's not a drug, it's carbon. Give us a call at Greska's Carbon 60 at 720-600-6040 or visit our site at c-60.com. Call 720-600-6040 and feel young again.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, but I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.